Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, today we launch a series of programs on prayer, the letter P in our OPENS, or OPENS formula, for your joyful, healthy, and productive second half. O is an optimistic outlook to refresh your memory. P is for prayer and spirituality. E, exercise and nutrition. And S, service to others. And I use the term prayer in its broadest sense, meaning a spiritual connection to a higher power beyond ourselves. And it's not limited to any particular religion, because all the great religions of the world contain the same basic message of truth and love. And you don't even have to be religious. You simply need to acknowledge and believe there is a power beyond and greater than self alone. And you can call it God, Yahweh, Allah, universal intelligence, spirit of truth, eternal wisdom, whatever. And let me begin today's program by asking you three questions. First, do you consider a spiritual connection a big thing that only a very few accomplish, mostly priests, theologians, rabbis, pastors, mullahs, nuns and monks, people like that? Is a genuine spiritual connection possible for everyday practical people like you and me? That's the second question. And the third is, can we make a spiritual connection when dealing with the mundane or unpleasant aspects of daily living, that job we're stuck in, paying the bills, or rude people all around us, disciplining our teens, all these problems we have to deal with? And for so many of us at middle age, it's easy to get stuck in the ordinary that seems to have nothing at all to do with the spirit of God, joy of living, or an ultimate purpose in our lives. And our first guest today, Michelle Acta, is here to inform us that you and I can make a spiritual connection. We can find meaning and bring positive energy and passion into our lives, even in a job or life circumstance that most would consider far from ideal. And Michelle Acta is over 20 years a waitress, but guess what? She's learned to find joy and a sense of spirit in that job that's not necessarily her life's purpose, and she is far more than your everyday server. She's earned her master's degree in clinical psychology, and she's a certified transformational life coach. And by the way, she's also a singer, dancer, and a Zumba instructor, and she calls herself a spiritual pilgrim in search of living her life's dream, and she wants to help others do the same. And she's author of a new book called A Waitress's Guide to Spirituality, Finding Meaning in the Menial. Hello, Michelle, and next time I stop in to eat lunch or dinner in Beverly Hills, I certainly hope I have you as my server.
Oh, you'll have a great time, that's for sure, Roy. So nice to meet you, and thank you for those lovely words. I appreciate it. And I love that introduction about how spirit and God and love, it's inclusive. It's not exclusive to any particular religion. I love what you had to say. So
well,
thanks for having me.
Let's start from the beginning. What does the word spirituality mean to you, and how has it impacted your life?
Well, spirituality, and I write that in the very beginning of the book. Before we start, I say, let's have a description of what I believe spirituality is, or, you know, basically spirituality, which is something that is inclusive and not exclusive.
Amen.
And keeps the seeker in touch with their heart and brings the seeker or the pilgrim or the spiritual person closer to God, and whatever that, you know, is to you, it's completely personal. That could be dancing. I find a spiritual connection when I dance. I know I'm on a high, a spiritual high when I'm dancing. It could be any particular thing, running. They call about the runner's high, right? So spirituality is any action or belief that puts you closer to God and love, and is something that is totally and completely inclusive.
Well, what initially inspired you to seek a spiritual connection and to search for joy and to bring passion into your daily life as a waitress?
What inspired me to do that?
Was there one thing that inspired you, or have you always...
Gosh, you know, I think on some level I came to the world looking for joy. And I think that sometimes we have a predisposition to look for joy and a predisposition to look for the negative. Now, that said, you can shift anything. But I kind of came out of the womb looking for love, looking for God, looking for a laugh, looking for a great time, and all of that, I believe, puts you in touch with spirit. Absolutely.
Well,
so,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I started reading spiritual material young, you know, maybe in my late teens, early 20s. I started reading Conversations with God, and I started just sort of getting my hands on anything spiritual, because I grew up Jewish, and though I identify culturally with Judaism 100%, I love it. I love the culture of it.
Yeah.
Religiously, I didn't quite gel with it. So I knew that there was something more. So I would just seek it out. I always picked up books that were more spiritual in nature than any other book.
Well, let's go to the present. How do you find time, inspiration, and energy for, as you call it, visioning, to tap into the spirit and create meaning for life while you're taking orders and carrying trays in a busy Beverly Hills restaurant?
You know, it's funny that you should ask. The other day, a table said, "You're so happy. Well, are you?" They said, "How are you always like this?" And I looked at them and I said, "Well, what's the alternative?" And so, really, everybody, what is the alternative?
That's
is it?
A good point.
Yeah. So they looked at me and they were kind of dumbfounded. They're like, "Smart." I'm like, "I'm not trying to be smart. I'm like, I mean it. Like, what's my alternative? Negativity?" And don't get me wrong, I have my days. I surely do, and we all do.
Yeah.
But I'm always aware of how I'm thinking about things, and I'm always aware of my take on things. So there's the person inside of you that's thinking, and then there's that other part of you that can notice what you're noticing, that can
that
notice
is,
what you're
you know,
thinking.
We've had so many guests on that point that out, that if you really can see yourself thinking negative and realize why you're doing it, it goes such a long way in terms of avoiding that negative thinking.
Absolutely. And the first thing is getting into that practice. So it is a practice that I have learned to do over the years, to notice what I'm noticing. And if I'm feeling that angst and that negativity, I call myself out. Now, some days I can do something about it and go, shift. I can do something about it. And some days it's not as easy. But it's a practice, just like any religion, like any sport. You know, you have to practice to get good. And I talk about that in my book. It's all about practice.
Yeah. Well, so many of us at middle age defined our self-worth by our job title, what we do for a living. And I know from past experience, if you're unsatisfied with your current job, it can negatively impact all aspects of your life, your relationships, self-confidence, enjoyment of the weekend, whatever. But in your book, you state you're proud of the title waitress, but you are much more than your current job. And how are you able to expand your horizons to become, as you call it, a spiritual pilgrim and a teacher, while at the same time remaining a waitress?
Right. Well, a girl's got to make a living while she makes a life, right?
Yeah,
this is how we do it. Just because the job isn't my life's passion, per se. That said, I knew that I always wanted to be in service of people as a young person. It's no mystery I became a waitress. So I can really pay the bills doing that. And in the meantime, over the years, I've always had a passion that I was working on, whether it was the dancing or the singing or going to school and getting my master's degree and working with people and doing therapy and working with children.
Yeah.
The waitressing job has always sort of paid the bills, and the other passions have allowed me to develop myself and bring those passions into the job. So even though the job is bringing food from point A to point B. It could be rote. It could be what, you know, really menial.
Yeah.
I bring the passion that I have for the other parts of my life into my job so that it infuses my experience with passion and joy and love of service and gratitude. So that's kind of how I do it. I've over the 20 years that I've been serving tables, I've always had other projects that I've worked on, and it doesn't diminish the waitressing.
Yeah,
it actually makes it better.
Yeah, I love the way in your book, it was on your website. I know I saw it. You said each of us is a spiritual being having a human experience, and I think that is such a good point to make that we're so much more than, you know, what our current experience is telling us we are, what telling others what we are, but we're much more than that.
Yes, indeed. And as a life coach, I teach that because so many of us are caught up in the circumstance of our life. And the circumstance is there. We're not trying to deny it. But we also have to remember that we have an infinite power that we can use at all times. Life is breathed through us by a power bigger than us.
Yeah.
And even if you don't believe in something specific, you got to believe that, you know, your heart doesn't beat on its own. There's a greater,
we didn't create
greater thing going on here. And so with that, knowing that we have circumstances, but that we have a power that's as great as anything we choose to be, that is the idea that I help clients work with and know that circumstances are one thing, but we don't consult our circumstances when we're trying to follow our dreams and trying to follow our heart. We consult our vision. So I help people become vision-driven people and have vision-driven lives as opposed to condition-based lives. And so many of us, including myself at times, have lived by condition. Well, I don't have enough money, and I don't have the time, and I don't have the education, and all that stuff, you know, that weighs us down, and then we decide we can't do something that we have infinite power to actually do.
Yeah, I love that statement that we're vision-driven and not circumstance-driven. It's so like what we talk about that, you know, you can't always control the circumstances around you, but you and you alone have the power to control how you react to them.
Indeed. Yes, indeed, Roy. That's so true. And I love that you're bringing this message to your listeners. It's fantastic.
Well, in your 20 years of serving in a restaurant, you must have encountered more than a few obnoxious customers, and at times I'm sure you've been stiffed on tips. How are you able to snap back from a bad day where you encountered a bunch of rudeness and you maintain that positive spiritual outlook on life?
Sure. Well, as far as the tips, quite a while ago, I stopped sharing with any. But so many people want to share this bad tip. Oh, these people, you know. I zip it. I do not share negative energy with my coworkers, and I understand that I live in an abundant universe, and that some people are not tapped into that thought process, but I am. So, I say this in my book. I make it a practice of blessing people who are leaving maybe less than gracious tips. And, I mean, I work in a sort of a high-end restaurant, so we do very well. I can't complain. So I absolutely have just made it a practice to bless people who aren't clued in to the abundance in the universe. So it shifts how I feel. I don't take it personally. I've just shifted that. I used to get so angry at people who didn't know how to tip, and I just shifted that through just knowledge that I am in an abundant universe, and what I give, I get, and it's all cyclical. I don't have to worry.
Yeah.
Now, that said, when you're dealing with less than gracious people and their demeanor, I understand that nothing is about me. This is about them. It's not always easy.
It has nothing at all to do with you. And I know you pointed out, I guess you were a patron, actually, instead of a server in this case. You were in a store, and the clerk was real rude. And then you found out later that she had had a personal tragedy or something, or was battling.
Yes, because we don't always know the end of the story. We're right in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
So when someone comes up and is rude to you or has said something, who knows if that person had a death in the family that day. Who knows? We don't have the full story, and we don't always need it. Just knowing that there's a story that we're unaware of that's going on for that individual gives you
because
sort of perspective.
There's no reason for that individual to be down on you personally as a customer of the store or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about you.
Exactly. So it just puts a little perspective on things when you realize that you're right in the middle of someone's story.
Yeah.
And you've had a day as well. I'm sure everybody out there listening has had a day where maybe they spoke to someone unkindly because they were so annoyed. They had to wait all day for the gas company, and then they didn't show up. And then they call the poor customer service person saying, "What the?" You know, we've all done that. We've all done that.
For sure.
And it's just the middle of the story. So if you can do what Don Miguel Ruiz says and take nothing personally, read through it and take nothing personally. That's all you can do.
Well, tell us what it means to be a person of increase, whatever your job or station in life. How do you and I become a person of increase? I love that term.
Yeah, it's a great term, isn't it? Basically, the way I describe it is whatever room you walk into with whatever people and whatever energy, when you leave that room, that energy is lifted.
Yeah.
So whether you're waiting on a table or you're being served by somebody, whomever you're interacting with, you want to lift the energy. I mean, it's all energy. We're all, it's all a level of energy. It's physics. Einstein has talked about how we're all energy. You match the frequency of the reality you want, and it must be yours. This is not philosophy, this is physics. So it really is about not only matching the frequency, but, you know, surpassing the frequency of the energy that is in the room so that everybody feels lifted. And then when you leave the room, that room is a better place than when you entered it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know when you talk about positive servers in restaurants, we have a few that my wife and I eat out most every day. That's one of our pleasures.
Lovely.
The kids are grown and there's Tina, that a waitress that we have at a local restaurant here, that you can tell she's a true Christian in every sense of the word. She doesn't preach at you, but she's always joyful and engaging, and she will tell you about her church if you ask about it. But she's so positive that people all ask for her table, and often we wait 10 or 15 minutes just to be in her section because we consider her a friend and we want to be with her. And then there was a waiter called Dave that should have been a stand-up comedian because he always made us laugh every day when we'd go into his restaurant, even on the day he told us that his restaurant was closing. And then there's Tony, who we shared a personal connection with. He made a joyful story about his wife when she was pregnant. And he took us like through the first year and a half of his daughter's life, or he has taken us. I mean, we still know Tony, and he always has a picture of his daughter. It's just so fun to share with certain wait staff that you see regularly when they're positive, and you know that you're more to them than just a tip, that you're a person to
them. Believe it.
And they're a person to you, and it can be a great interaction. But
yes, those are people of increase. They change the course of your day just a little bit and make it that much better.
Yeah, and I know that your book wasn't written strictly for servers in restaurants, although I think it'd be a great guide for them, but really it's an inspiration for all of us. And what do you want us to take mostly away from your book?
That thinking, how you think, is a technology, and it is one of the most valuable pieces of technology that we all already own and have domain over. So like any piece of technology, it can be used to our propagation and fulfillment, or it can be used to our detriment and our you know, we can torture and terrorize ourselves with it. So how we think is the most powerful piece of technology you are master over. And with that, Remember that no matter what you do, whatever situation, if you're working in a bank or if you're working in a restaurant or sales, whatever you're doing, the way you think can shift and change how you experience your world. And that is such an important piece of information that everybody should really, really just take heed, just take a moment, think about how that can affect your day. And I try and help people either with my book, clients, and help them use their thoughts to be a propeller towards the dream and the dream in their heart and the life they would love to live.
Well, I know you can't give away the whole book, but in just a few minutes remaining, if we're really dispirited at midlife and out of touch with God and our spiritual nature, do you have one or two tips you could give us that could launch a search to really uncover that new way of thinking and find meaning and purpose in life?
Well, we all have a dream. Every great success story started with a dream. So I would suggest to anybody to start dreaming again.
Yeah.
Every
so many
great
people have kind of lost sight of that dream at middle age, I think.
It's sometimes we get again stuck in the circumstance.
Yeah.
So just take a moment to start dreaming. You know, if Walt Disney didn't have a dream, we wouldn't have the happiest place on earth. I'm sure some people thought he was a little crazy. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. didn't have a "I have a plan" speech. He had a dream.
That's right.
So what we want to do is tap into a dream. And as a middle-aged person, very often we are caught up in the circumstance. And I get it. I'm not trying to say that it's not there. There are kids to take to school and there's work to be had. But you get a moment in your day to think about what you would love.
Yeah.
Not what you can have given your circumstances, but what would I love?
Yeah.
And you can think about it in any part of your life, your health and wellness, your vocation, your relationships, you know. I would love more social, I would love to have more social experiences with my friends. I would love that. And start dreaming. Start dreaming and start writing it down.
No one can get to a destination in life or go on and launch a journey in life unless they have a destination in mind. And that,
this is true.
If you have that dream, you're not going to get much of anywhere to a better life.
You better believe it, Roy. That is true.
Well, where can we go to purchase or preview your book, A Waitress's Guide to Spirituality, Finding Meaning in the Menial? I love that title, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, you can go to all the regular places like Amazon.com or any places that sell a book for, well, Amazon, you can get the hard copy.
Yeah.
You can download to your Kindle, or you can, if you have a Nook, you can go to Barnes & Noble, or you can just go to my website, which has a button that leads you to all the places that you can get my book.
What is that website?
Well, it's my name. It's Michelle with two L's, AKDA.com, MichelleOkda.com.
Yeah, I understand. On there also, you talk about your consulting services, your transformational life coaching, I should say, to anyone seeking help with relationships, health and wellness, time and monetary freedom, and vocation. And you even, I think, offer a free 30-minute strategy session with Michelle. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yes. And what we do in that session is we take 30 minutes to talk about your vision, your dream, what you would love, where you are now, and the first step in bridging that gap, first step is.
That 30 minutes would be invaluable to a lot of people, I'm sure. Just I bet
indeed.
A lot of people want more than in sign you up as a transformational life coach.
Well, it's my pleasure, again, to be of service.
Well, in concluding, I'd like to relay a message from one of the videos on Michelle's website, and it applies to so many of us at middle age, and it's from a book that she referenced called You Squared, where a small fly is in a death struggle battling a closed window to get outside, and 10 feet away is an open door that the fly could fly through to freedom. But the fly is relying only on its internal wisdom that tells us to keep pounding harder and harder on the pain. Now, I'm not implying that you and I have fly brains, but why do we keep trying harder and harder with an attitude and a way of life that just isn't working? Instead, why don't we seek connection to a higher power and to our spiritual nature and the Spirit of God to show us the way out to a life filled with joy and passion? And as you point out on the back cover of your book, it perhaps can be right where you are today You don't necessarily have to change everything in your life. You just have to change the attitude toward things, and then things tend to get better on their own once you have that attitude. And thank you so much, Michelle Akta, for your inspiring message, and best of success in sale of your book.
Thank you so much, Roy. It's been an absolute delight talking to you. You are a gem.
And you're a great guest, and thanks so much for appearing.
It's my great pleasure. Thanks, Roy.
Thank you, and goodbye. Wow, Michelle Akta was a most inspirational guest. You know, whenever we talk about spirituality, about making an authentic connection with a higher power, related questions often follow. Will my life be transformed in a heartbeat? Should I anticipate a sudden surge of enlightenment rushing over me like a cool summer breeze? In a single divine moment, will God, or however you want to address the divine, will God reveal my mission on earth, point me to a life of joy and purposeful service to others? In fact, I'm talking about what most evangelical Christians would label the born-again experience. As you undoubtedly know, many believers can tell us the precise date and time of day when they were saved. And I greatly admire people who can do that. It's never worked that well for me. But whatever your specific religious beliefs, is it possible to be born again? Well, based upon my personal experience and that of others I know, my answer is a highly equivocal yes and no. My first impulse, you see, is yes, because on Sunday, January 24th, 1999, I awakened from a 30-year sleepwalk through life, ready to launch my midlife adventure, all that's described in my book. Out of the clear blue, I became what I felt was a totally new person. I envisioned writing my books, launching my new business, and reviving lives all across North America of fellow middle-aged sufferers. But upon further reflection, my answer is a definite no, because when I awoke on Monday morning the next day, January 25th, and I began to reflect upon the enormity of the task ahead and the myriad of challenges facing me, I wasn't so born again that day. How could I alter long-established thought and behavior patterns? How could I sell my spouse and my children on a radically altered plans for the future, which could definitely impact them? How could I continue to pay the bills while I transitioned into a new life? If anything, my daily challenge became more intense, trying to juggle the old and the new, writing a book while continuing to conduct an insurance business. And most of us probably aren't nearly as effective as our guest today, Michelle Akta, in balancing all the balls. After all, she earned her master's degree, launched a coaching business, and wrote a book, all while she continued to wait tables. And that's not an easy task, believe me. Perhaps you already are a believer with a firm spiritual connection to God. And if so, this discussion is all old hat to you. But if, like me, a few years ago, prior attempts to communicate with the divine have produced mixed results, is it realistic to anticipate a sudden born-again enlightenment this time? Should you feel that God is sending you a clear message? If you feel that, how should you react? Obviously, I can't tell you what to do, but here are a few suggestions. If you feel like you've got an inspiration from God, go off by yourself at the earliest opportunity for several minutes or hours, for as long as it takes, as you need, in quiet, undisturbed contemplation, and continue communicating with the Spirit for further instructions. You know, you're not limited to one 30-second call, and it's a long distance to God is free of charge, at least monetary charge. If your vision of the future is clear, apply pen to paper or finger to laptop to record your visionary insights, because, you know, if you have these great inspiration in mind, but you don't put anything down on paper, likely it'll go up in smoke before you get around to laying it out. And without waiting to plan out every aspect of your new life, begin to behave emotionally as though you've just won life's lottery. I know that worked for me back in 1999, because when I started behaving like a successful author and inspirational coach, I began to feel like one. And you begin behaving as though you just won life's lottery, because if you have your very own inspired vision of a joyful and productive future and you begin working at it, then you indeed have won life's lottery. But before you become too elated, here's a few words of warning. First of all, don't plunge into anything radically new and different without first taking time out for planning, reflection, and careful preparation. Is this message to my soul for real? Is this really how I want to spend the remainder of my productive years? Why am I so sure? And research opportunities and required qualifications in your vocation and lifestyle that God, as you imagine anyway, told you to pursue. Was that message for real? And stick your foot in the water before you quit your day job. You know, years ago, my wife Gloria and I knew a couple in Michigan that was foolish enough to decide, for whatever reason, I don't know, that they wanted to live in Southern California. And without doing any prior job search or anything like that, they sold their house, packed up all their belongings, and moved to Southern California. And neither of them could find work in the jobs that they were used to. And they eventually came crawling back to Michigan asking for their old jobs back. And that's certainly not something that you want to do, because it's not very inspiring to crawl back to what you were doing with the same attitude you had before. And share your vision with your spouse and family members, and don't charge forward without them on board. You have a selling job to do before you just start changing everything. And imagine every aspect of your life free of stress and negative emotions. That's the real lottery prize. Sure, bad things and frustration happen to us all, but you alone, with God's help, can control your reaction to those bad external events. And picture yourself time and again as the person who is fulfilling your dreams. Do you remain totally comfortable and committed to your intended destination? If not, you may need to alter it a bit. Second, always consider the consequences of failure and never fail to have a backup plan should all the pegs not fall in place. There's nothing more devastating than to have a narrow-minded plan on one specific target, and then when that doesn't work out perfectly, go into depression. You always should have a backup plan in place, and remember, you can always retain your essential vision while you alter certain specifics. Third, you should visualize daily when you awaken in the morning and before you go to sleep at night. Imagine you and God confronting your daily challenges with unlimited potential. And believe me, if you really have a spiritual connection, that is what your potential is. It's unlimited. But if you try to do it all yourself, like that fly we were talking about earlier, you certainly are limited. Keep reminding yourself you are not on your own anymore. There are solutions out there just awaiting your discovery. And above all else, keep your spiritual lines of communication open for subsequent advice and revelations. You know, your initial born-again inspiration was not a one-time only set-in-stone message from beyond. That's not how God or the spiritual power works. And the initial test of any born-again experience is a subsequent preparation of a realistic plan of action, because your dreams will never come true without one. And your next challenge after that is to begin taking action to execute your plan, because no matter how dramatic your inspiration or grandiose your expectations, you undoubtedly will revert back to prior bad habits and negative emotions within days unless you start to take some action and firm up your plans. In summary, remember these seven keys to sustainable long-term positive transformation: a genuine, uninterrupted reflection on the future before you plunge in, persistent visualization of all aspects of living, living that end result that you seek, insightful planning with firm objectives in mind, early action to accomplish the plan or at least to launch it, self-discipline throughout the entire process, and don't abandon efforts at the first sign of difficulty, which we all run into at some point, routine monitoring and recording of progress toward accomplishments of objectives. You know, it's very important that you have a calendar in place, something that will keep you moving toward that objective, or else months will turn into years and years into decades, and you'll still be stuck in the same place where you started. And reach out to ask for initial and continuing support, not just from the divine, but from also from people you know, people you need knowledge from, and people you care for the most. Because, you know, ask in a genuine, humble manner. Most everyone wants to help you as long as you're open to helping them as in turn. Is there any way to affirm for certain that you have a spiritual connection and that you've made one and that you've received an authentic, unambiguous blueprint for your future? In fact, how do you know that you have been born again? Well, your first significant test could be any one of the following: your first truly bad day at work when your boss is yelling at you, your first major spousal or family conflict, your first serious health or financial crisis impacting you or a loved one, your first extended interactions with the naysayers at work, tell you your suggestions aren't any good, with your family or from the gossips down the street. And it could be as simple as your first major traffic jam on the LIE, the Dan Ryan Expressway, or the Santa Monica Freeway. And I've been on all those roads, and they're not much fun. Well, like today's guest, Michelle Okta, can you remain calm and spiritual under the pressures and aggravations of daily living? Is there a still small voice inside urging you to remain calm, be courteous to others at all times, be thankful for all you have, and to keep your eyes on the big picture whenever temporary setbacks or irritations occur? And no matter how positive you think you are going to experience setbacks, because we all do. Whenever you backslide into negative thoughts or emotions, your only appropriate response is to recognize and acknowledge the temporary lapse, explain to yourself the reason why you think it occurred, and then consciously resolve to do better the next time. And remember, a lapse in behavior does not mean that you're going back to be the formal negative person that you were before. And continually remind yourself, slippage into old habits does not represent the new you. Well, let me close by asking one final question. What if you never experienced an instantaneous born-again revelation? Does this mean you're doomed to failure, that you're stuck in the current hole you've been in for a number of years, or that you're not happy with right now? Heck no. For most of us, the spiritual journey is a continuous, ongoing work in process, two steps forward and one step back over an extended period of time. And to complete a gradual, step-by-step spiritual journey to a brighter future, the only ingredients you really need are persistence and an unwavering confidence in your ultimately favorable outcome. If you have those two elements, you'll keep trying until you get it right. Stay positive and continue to seek spiritual guidance from a higher power to adventure outside your comfort zone. And you know, if you won't venture outside that comfort zone, you're never going to achieve a new life, because it just doesn't work that way. By all means, continue to pray, but then don't sit around waiting for God to do all the work. That also doesn't work. At the end of the day, end of each day, close your eyes and think of all the blessings you received during that day. Then vividly imagine yourself moving ever closer to the person you seek to become, and keep that person constantly in mind. Ask loved ones, family members, and close friends to continually monitor and critique your process or your progress, and to offer helpful suggestions. And don't have a thin skin. There, you know, if somebody criticizes you, remember they're on your side, and it's for your own benefit long term. In the end, the only results that matter are a joyful, purposeful, and stress-free second half of life on your own terms for the mutual benefit of yourself and others. And 5 years from now, self-confident and fulfilled, it won't matter one tiny iota whether or not you can cite a specific date or hour when you were born again. You know, my first book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, contains a whole chapter on the born-again phenomenon, along with 17 other chapters and 21 self-help exercises to launch you on your very own unique personal journey to midlife renewal. And I urge you to preview it at www.middleagerenewal.com. That's our website. And while you're there, why not request my Middle Age Renewal mini course, which is a completely free gift to you. And tune in next week when we learn why regular attendance at church may indeed be a waste of your time, and I didn't say that, our guest does. And so long for now. From Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.